what we want to be able to do is be able to make the invisible visible. So how do we make our Ross visible so that we can go, wow, this isn't me, this is my Ross. Like for the couple today, this isn't, they were in a lot of pain because their old stories were running them rather than their current relationship. So we're going to do a quick example of what happens when your old stories run you, and then we'll show you some new ways of dealing with it. You want to do, and some of you have heard this before, but I guess it's practice makes perfect. No, it doesn't. Practice makes you better at something if you're practicing the right way.
Right.
My typing, I've been practicing typing for 30 years, and I'm just maybe a tiny bit better than I was 30 years ago, maybe. So, Kristen, you want to do the quick sponge example?
Okay, so this is an example of something that came up for me a little while ago. We'll just do it here. All right. Hey, Paul, would it really kill you to take the sponge out of the bottom of the sink, squeeze it out, and put it up on the side of the sink?
After I'm done doing the dishes?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, would it kill you to say thank you for doing the dishes? And I also cooked dinner that night, too. So, I mean, you can't squeeze the sponge out yourself?
Well, yeah, but you never say thank you to me when I clean the bathroom.
Well, it's because you don't do such a good job.
Ooh, ooh.
Okay, so I think everybody on the phone can tell where we're headed with this one. You know, it's that, as they say, that dog don't hunt. If we keep going down this avenue, we're going to be in reaction and counter-reaction, and it's going to lead to a painful evening, and nobody's going to be happy. So here's what happens when one person wakes up and is not stuck in their Ross, in their past, in their upset. So go ahead and fire away again.
Okay, so hey, would it really kill you to take the sponge out of the bottom of the sink when you're done washing dishes?
Oh, honey, when you saw the sponge in the bottom of the sink, I'm wondering if you felt a little frustration and disappointment, and maybe you're needing some support and understanding.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh, is there more?
Well, yeah, maybe you could rinse your toothpaste out of the bottom of the sink, too.
Oh. So you'd really like some help and support around the house, keeping it clean. Is that close to accurate?
Yeah, I work really hard to keep the place clean and looking nice so that we can enjoy ourselves here.
Wow. Actually, maybe even you'd like some appreciation for how much you contribute to our well-being.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay. So, did you notice the difference between option A and option B?
Yes.
And how much different would the outcome be if that's the way that you behave? Now, it's the thing about option B, which is what I did, just so you understand, is I used the four-step method that we teach in our advanced classes. I just went through observation, feelings, needs, and a request and reflected it back to her. But what I was trying to do is connect to her underlying feelings and needs, and to do that, I needed to be in the present, not in reaction, not in the past, not letting my Ross run me. You know how Norton, when I talked about Norton antivirus sometimes will block out things that I want. It will try to protect me from the things that I love and care about. And sometimes my Ross will try to protect me against my beloved. And all of a sudden, Kristen, who I love more than I've ever loved a woman, all of a sudden, she looks like the enemy to me. And my Ross is up to defend me. Attack her! Dun-da-da! Charge off! Point, counterpoint. And I start building a case against her, and pretty soon I can no longer see this beautiful woman I cherish. What I see is the enemy who's trying to make me feel bad, stupid, and wrong. That's what happens when the Ross gets kicked in and stirred up. Does that make sense? Yes, no? I love your participation, so I'm going to... Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It makes sense. I'm uncertain about that, though.
Uncertain about what? Please ask.
So I'm looking at the sponge story, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, yes, that happens, and what a great thing for you to step up and to be compassionate around her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side, I'm also looking at Kristen's remark as being a little sideways and thinking that what is her part of that. You know, I guess I would have said it in a little different way, as I'm not feeling very appreciated, and I really appreciate it when you rinse out the sponge and put it up there. Is that something you can do?
Right.
So I see both sides.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Is that I think that, yeah.
And I would cherish hearing it that way. That would be very sweet. Now, here's the challenge is sometimes what we are is we're not our best when we have really important needs. A lot of times we act at our worst when we really need love and attention and appreciation and acknowledgement. So, first place, I totally hear what you're saying, and that would be awesome if she was in a place that she could have asked that way. What I want to make sure of, though, is when, because there's times when I ask sideways, too. I am tired, I'm grumpy, I'm cranky, and all of a sudden some little thing sets me off. And here's the big thing. If you don't get anything else out of this call and you never do anything else with us, which I hope that's not the case, but here's the gift. All communication is one of two things. It's either an act of love or a cry for help. And if I can translate what Kristen said, rather than psychoanalyze it and go, well, that's covert, she's, you know, she's being covertly hostile, she's, you know, this is just acting out, all the rest of that stuff that doesn't help me connect to her. If I can go, oh, my honey's in pain and she's crying for help. She may not be doing it in a way that's easy to hear. That's the incredible part of this tool. It's made it easier for me to hear her when she's in pain and not take it personally or make it personal, not go into defending or attacking. So the first time we went through it, I kicked in and went right for attack, point, counterpoint, and we went down, you know, it's like crash and burn. Second time, I was able to translate it, hear it as, this is a cry for help. And what I wanted to do was have a communication method that I could use that's at its best when I'm at my worst or my lover's at their worst. So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, I like that.
And if you're enlightened enough to say, wow, I would really appreciate it, and I, you know, thank you so much, it really makes a difference for me. God, that's easy to hear. I don't even have to practice any of my tools to hear that. That's very sweet. It's when it comes out as an attack, that's when I actually need to have some special tools. Thank you. Anything else? Anybody else? Any other comments before we move on? Great. Now, when you filled out your sheet, does anybody have any of those questions that they'd like to share that they got like tens on when you graded it from 1 to 10? Did anybody get any tens that they totally agreed with that statement? Any above sevens?
I'm looking. I have a 10.
What'd you get? What was that?
I know how my parents' fear about money has impacted my relationship.
Yeah.
I know that to be true. It's impacted it.
Wow. So that's a Roth. That's,
yeah, absolutely.
And Kristen just talked about her, and I look at it, and I look at mine, and I go, wow, what did I learn about money from my parents? A lot. It really has impacted me, too. So how is that getting in your way, and how would you like it to be? So that was actually a question. That wasn't a rhetorical question. That was a real question. How is your parents' beliefs around money and what they conditioned you getting in your way in your current relationship?
The fear.
Mm.
The fear that there's not enough. The fear that anything that's really money-oriented and the scarcity of it, that there's just never enough. And then it's constant conflict.
Yeah, and the weird thing about that belief system, there's never enough, actually perpetuates it, because there is, in that reality, there's never enough. I could have $1 million, but that wouldn't be enough, because in my world, it's never enough. See, and here's one of the ones that runs me, so you get it. One is that I'm never smart enough. And anybody who compliments me on my intelligence, and by the way, I'm not asking for any right now, but it's like my mind, the way the programming works is my mind says, you know, it's sort of like that Groucho Marx remark that said, I wouldn't want to join a club that would have me for a member. And it's like, I don't appreciate anybody who compliment me on how smart I am, because obviously they're dumb. The only people that I tried to get approval from for a lot of my life were the people who didn't want to give me approval, which was a reflection of my programming with my dad and my older brother. And now it's like I'm with somebody who gives me tons of approval, and it's really taken a paradigm shift for me to let that in, that she's not kidding me, and that here's somebody who is smart that really thinks, you know, that gives me constant recognition and approval. Wow, that's really uncomfortable for me at times, because I have to shift my belief systems around that. So how can we move from reaction to choice? You want to dive into that one, Kristen, or you want me to do that? Or
why don't you do that one?
All right. I was working, I spent years as a business consultant in teaching Dr. Deming's work, and we worked in Alaska and Albuquerque and Hong Kong and just outside of New Orleans, all around the country. It was quite amazing. And one of the things that would happen is I noticed we'd go in and try to make a change in this organization, and things wouldn't work for a while. We couldn't figure out what we were missing. And what we're missing is the cycle of change. So hopefully you've got a pen and paper out. And here's a cycle of change. When I say that, I don't want you to think like we think that we have the only way and the only answer, but this seems to be one that works pretty well. Number one is awareness. Number two is understanding. Number three is agreement. Number four is alignment. And alignment means taking action. So if someone was giving up, or if I came to somebody and asked them to give up smoking, number one is I might go, rather than go right to the action, which is typical, you ought to give up smoking and quit smoking. What do I get then? I get lots of resistance. And it's like, I want to give up my beliefs around my money beliefs. I want to be more open on money. All of a sudden, you're trying to transform that. What you're probably going to get is resistance rather than all of a sudden becoming enlightened. So first, become aware. Aware of what it is, then understand how it's impacting me. Wow. These beliefs around money are driving the person I love away, and I'm starting to see them as the enemy. The scarcity is really creating this big rift between us. So we become aware, we start to understand, and then we agree that this is it. This is really, you know, I agree that this is actually a problem. And then I start to align and go, okay, what is it that I want to have? What do I want to have different? And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you can just change it by shining a light. How many of you have kids on the phone? Any of you?
Yes, one.
Okay. Sometimes when your kids get really scared, and sometimes I don't know, some of you may have kids that are in college, so it may not relate to you right now, but think back. Sometimes when your kids are scared and they have a nightmare and they go like, there's somebody under the bed or something in the closet, you can go and you open the door and you shine in the light or turn on the light and go, honey, see, empty closet. No one under the bed. And they go, oh, got it. And it's over. And that happens sometimes. Kristen talked about it earlier. Sometimes all you've got to do is label it. Get a label on it and go, oh, that's my money belief. That's my scarcity belief. That doesn't belong to me. That's my parents' programming that just happened to be on a disk that I put in my computer, and I don't need that anymore. I can hit erase, delete. It's out of here. It's gone. So we can either change our programming or change our reaction to it. And that's where we start to go into, and this is especially important when you go through and definitely read the five mistakes. This is when we get into the mistake called storytelling. But what you can do with your lover is say, honey, my story around money and scarcity is up right now. And I'm believing that the only reason you're with me is because you want my money, or that if I give you any money, we'll both be broke and I'll be out on the street. And I know that's not true, but that's my story. It's really strong right now. Would you be willing to sit and talk to me about it? So what are the two things we can change? We can either go in and change the programming, or we can change our reaction to the programming. Does that make sense?